Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Jesse DePlantis here. Thank you for tuning into our broadcast today. Last week, we preached a sermon entitled Unrealized Possibilities, Part 1. This is Part 2. Let me ask you a question. Have you been dreaming about the unrealized possibilities ahead of you? Do you realize what's around you? Do you realize what your future can be? Oh, Lord. Now, this is Part 2. It gets better than Part 1. Call a friend, tell them to turn the television on, get a pencil and paper. I say it all the time. Take notes. Get this inside of you and watch unrealized possibilities become realized, and they come into your life right away if you'll believe it. So this is Part 2 of Unrealized Possibilities. Get ready. Learn something today. You're going to receive. There's no limit to unrealized possibilities, because it will always bring interpretation and illustration. You see, this building, when I was building it, it was being interpreted to me as I went, and then it was being illustrated to me as I stepped out by faith. You see, in every area. And I do that to keep my body healthy, to keep my body, you know, working and things of that nature. See, because there's no limit. You know, when they say, "Now, you know, you're getting old." No, I'm getting older. I'm not growing old. You see, that's an interpretation. You follow what I'm saying? And then it's an illustration. Now, there's some things I don't want to do. People say, "You must love the exercise. You've been exercising since you're a very young man." I hate it. I'd rather go with Greg and eat breakfast. Hold your hand up, Greg. Greg is a breakfast eater, man. He loves breakfast. Say, "No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get on that treadmill. I don't want to pump them weights. I don't want to do that." You know, especially when you're doing, when you're traps, not you're trying, it's like this, that's a trap. Yeah, and my God, he's pulling in. Ooh, Lord. And I don't want to do that. I know, I want to go to the pantry. And I've been to the pantry many times. I got to wash myself. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah, glory to God. I don't want to do that. But, everybody say but. If you are going to accomplish what you want, God is not going to do all your work. Jesus turned the water into wine, didn't he? But he didn't go fetch the water. See, y'all think God's got to go get the water, bring it back to the water. Okay, pray over the water. Pour out the water. Pour it out. Not it was water. Pour it out the water. No, you got to go fetch the water. Let me say it again. There's no limit to unrealized possibility. That's what he was trying to teach his disciples and the crowd, because it will always bring interpretation and illustration. That's why I believe in confession, but what you confess, you must possess. Interpretation, illustration. Now, if you say something people don't quite understand, make it simpler. That's why I learned to preach like that. I would say something deep, they'd go right over their head. Jesus say something deep, boom. Then he'd stop. He'd say, "Okay. There once was a rich man." Oh, people like stories. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then he would take that story and put it in that point. That something that really was, let's say, hard to believe became very simple to believe. Because you realize if someone can do it, why can't you do it? See, that is interpretation and illustration. See, that's what Kathy saw in me. I was an unrealized possibility. She saw me as a preacher. Can you believe that? I thought, "Woman, you done lost your ever-loving mind." Now, this was after I saved. She said, "You called a preacher." I said, "I ain't called to do nothing, woman. I don't know nothing about no Bible. I don't know anything. I don't know nothing. You understand? I ain't been to, the seminary. I've been to cemeteries, but I've never been to seminaries. I don't know nothing about that. I can't do that." But she kept saying it. The pastor, when I went to a church, and I mean, I only knew him like a week, he said, "You called to preach. Get out of here. You done lost your ever-loving mind." I was like the disciple. "What's that among so many? You got the wrong man here." You understand? "Now, I'll be a good Christian. You want me to cut the grass? I can do that. You know, I'll go to church. You want me to give my time? I'll do that. I can do all that." But, oh, no, I ain't going behind no pulpit, because there'll be thunder and lightning and strike me dead. You know? I mean, because, see, I could remember my past, but God could not. Amen. See, I had no past. He not only forgave me, he expunged my record. Like as if I never did it, washed it away completely. My mind could hear it, or my mind could remember it, but not his. Do you see what I'm saying there? That's the most amazing thing. So he began to do interpretation and illustration with me. So how he got me, he snuck in on me. Because some of these churches would call their youth people, they say, "Would you come tell your testimony?" Well, I didn't consider that preaching. That's stuff that I did. You know, as a rock entertainer, blah, blah, then I got born again. So I said, yeah, I can do that, you know. Boy, I mean, the kids just love that. You know, they, oh, man, really? Can you play a little guitar? Yeah, yeah. So they have a guitar. James, I said, play a little bit. And they said, can you? But I didn't know no gospel songs. You guys, now I was a heathen. So I played a little ZZ Top. And them kids go, like that. You know, I did a little Frankenstein. You know what Frankenstein was? Edgar Winner. Them kids going, ooh, I like the Jesus he serves. But that's all I knew. That's all I knew. I didn't know bringing in the sheaves. Or what a friend we have in Jesus. Yeah, I didn't bring in any of that. How about Stairway to Heaven? You want to go to heaven? I got the stairway to it. You know, a little, you know, yeah, a little Led Zeppelin. Go, my God, man! And if I did a testimony to the black church, I'd do some soul music. You know, boy, they used to love that Percy Sledge. When a man loves a woman, boy, you see them go, sing it, white boy. Just go ahead, sing it. And no sunshine when she's gone. I know. Sitting on the dock of the bay. Whew, little Wilson Pickett. Woo! You know, James Brown. Woo! I feel good. Boy, let's go to town. I used to tell that I Feel Good by James Brown. That's a Pentecostal song. That's what I used to think of because I felt good. Did you know he was he loved me, James Brown? I mean, they tried to get him to listen to Bishop T.D. Jakes. He says, is that guy with the white hair? They said, no, man, Bishop Jakes is phenomenal. I'm not worthy to latch his shoes. That man can preach the gospel, buddy. Woo! He said, they said, no. He said, well, I'll listen. But he said, I like that white-headed guy. He's my man. It was a blessing. I enjoyed that. You know, I thought, man. Praise God, you know, you know, and it, but I, you know, everybody said that can't be, but see, I was an unrealized possibility that became a possibility. You see what I'm saying? Then all the things that I said I could not do, would not do, I have done, and am doing. Write this down. Very often, in time of great crisis, a great decision is made. You see. See, Jesus made a great decision there right in front of that crowd. Very often in times of great crisis, a great decision is made. You learn to actually make a decision and you say you're going to walk in it. Have you had crisis in your life? Oh, yeah. I mean, my thing, I never, you know, when I was a rocker, I should have been shot at because I chased women and you name it, my Lord. I mean, but I know, I was just a heathen from hell. And I didn't care who knew about it. It didn't make no difference to me. Now I got born again. They shot at me. They tried to knife me twice. They tried to electrocute me with 240 volts on my microphone. If I'd have touched it, it would have just killed me. I must have been a danger to the devil. I never thought of myself as being a danger to the devil. But he even realized the possibility in me, the devil. We got to shut this boy down, you see? And then he brought the whole world against me a few years back about them planes, and all I did was grow in the matter. My ministry increased spiritually, physically, and financially. My God. See, but I made decision not to quit. I made decision. I asked the Lord, how you want me to handle ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, HBO? What they doing there? Huh? Coming out of a hotel, man, you get slammed. Like you see on television. I mean, it was everywhere. Jody said, Dad, you're the strongest man I've ever seen in my life. How you can handle that? And I remember I asked the Lord, well, how do you want me to do this? He said, you'll kill it with joy. I like the word kill it. Now, I thought a little bit. I know some people in New York, Kansas City, Los Angeles, Detroit. Taking care of business. That's what I thought for a minute. And the Lord said, the joy will destroy them. And did. And did. And they're still trying to do everything they can, but between me and Joel Osteen, they come at us all the time about something. And you know what it is? What we possess. And what do we possess? It's not the plane. It's not the house. We have that. We possess possibility. And they don't know how we can sustain it, much less get it. You see what I'm saying? So very often in time of great crisis, a great decision is made. Write this down. Unrealized possibilities satisfies. It strengthens and enlarges your capacity for service. Unrealized possibilities satisfies. It strengthens and enlarges your capacity for service. You see, when you begin to get what you want, you become more of a servant. What else can I do that I might honor someone and honor the God that I serve? I love that in the book. I think it's in Samuel. He said, he that honors me, I will honor him. I like that. You know, honor is a gift that a person gives to themselves. Somebody ever honors you is because you gave that gift to yourself, and people recognize that, and they wanted to honor you for doing that. Let me say it again. Unrealized possibility satisfies. It strengthens and it enlarges your capacity for service. See, that's what's happening in the Kathy as pastor of this church. You notice she's really been preaching good. Am I correct in that? She's really been preaching and teaching good, you know? And Kathy always loved the challenge. I mean, she's born again, never read the Bible in her life before she got saved. And the first thing she wants to learn is eschatology. I didn't even know what the word was. It's called end times. I said, Kathy, you're barely saved. Jesus, you got some theologians that they still trying to figure out end time, but not Kathy's son. She's going to study eschatology. And she did, boy, and she does, and she'll tell you, bless God. And I mean, she's very good at that and growing in that. And what's good about her, she can preach on one sermon for 8 weeks, and you don't get mad. She's trying to get it all out. Well, me, I do expository preaching, expository teaching. I'll take one verse. Is that all? Yeah. What is that among so many? And I got to squeeze it, get the blood out the turnip, because I only have a few minutes. See what I'm saying? And a lot of time I look at her notes, and I go, good Lord, look at all that. I mean, it would take me 9 years to go through all that. But she can do it. You know, she said, I read a lot. That's true. She does read a lot. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you see, you got to have revelation. So what she's doing is illustration is what's happening, and interpretation. So you can understand what's going to happen in those days and in those times. I call them biblical events. Like some people tell, well, I don't know why you believe in a rapture. The word rapture is not in the Bible. Well, we know the word rapture is not in the Bible. It's called the catching away. So, I mean, I like the two. I did this to a person one time. I said, is that your Bible? He said, yes, it is. I said, can I have it? Yeah, and I looked at it and I put it back. I said, would you find the word Bible in here? He said, what? I said, would you find the word Bible in here? I said, it's not in there. But is it a Bible? Yeah. I said, find the word Bible. Show me where it's at, and I'll shut up. But he couldn't, because the word Bible is not in here. But the Bible is here. Well, the word rapture may not be in there, but Jesus is going to catch us away. There's no other choice, because we're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Don't you like to eat dinner? Think about it. Being served by angelic beings. Eat all you want, not get fat. Can you imagine how long that table is? It's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. See? When you understand, well, that can't be. Well, to you, that's an unrealized possibility. But to me, that unrealized possibility satisfies me. It strengthens me and enlarges my capacity to serve. Yeah. It's just such a blessing. Write this down. The first Adam's body to people was nothing but mud. Let me say it again. The first Adam's body to people was nothing but mud. But to God, it was an unrealized possibility for the breath of life. See, to God, it was an unrealized possibility. So he just got down there and did this, and breathed into his nostrils and became a living spirit. Now, to everybody else, it ended up in mud. See the difference in how people? See? And the second Adam understood that. The first Adam didn't. Now, you think about that for a minute. The first Adam's body, to people, was nothing but mud. But to God, it was an unrealized possibility for the breath of life. So when I see somebody about ready to get born again, I see them as a dead carcass, as a dead spirit, but an unrealized possibility about ready to receive the breath of life. And boy, once you get the breath of life, son, you get born again. You've heard me say it many times. You don't like the way you're born, try it again. Better the second time around. Now, you think about that in every area of your life, spiritually, physically, and financially. Now, according to the world, when people knew me and Kathy, they told Kathy to divorce me. She had the right to divorce me. And I wouldn't have cared. I know that sounds terrible. Not that I didn't love her. I just thought, well, that's just the way it is. That's life. Next. That's how stupid I was. Did you love her? Well, yeah, I loved, never told her. I didn't tell her I loved her until 5 years after I married her, until after I got born again. I wouldn't say that because that was called weakness in my way of thinking. But you know what? I mean, and I said, well, you know, if you want to go, hit the door. Yeah, just the way, I just didn't care about nothing other than myself. I was so in love with myself that there was no room for anybody else. Because what I was in love with about myself was that career of mine. I wanted to do that. I was going to do that music. And if you got my way, if I had to shoot you, I'd shoot you. I did not care. It didn't. If it had to be. I know that sounds terrible, doesn't it? But you see, yet God, through all that sin, through all that, I don't know, we'd call it hatred or whatever, he saw, I can use that boy. And then he began to birth it into Kathy after she got born again. And then Jody realized I was going to hell and she was three. All I saw was hell everywhere, man. You're going to hell, okay. You know, if you kill somebody, you're going to jail. It's a good place to sleep. Didn't care. Didn't make no difference. You see, I know that sounds crazy. Oh, that can't be. I can't be you, Brother Jody. It wasn't me. That's that old man that died. You see? It just didn't make any difference. Oh, you can't be like that. Did you just see how that 15-year-old kid, they just caught him, he would shoot people? Yes. No heart, no nothing. You go out in the streets today, they'll kill you in a second at 12 years old. What caused that to happen? No family. Yep. Yep. No father. Praise. No mother. Yep. No love. No. And it produces void. Void, yes. That you have no feeling whatsoever at all. And you can do anything. Oh, but when God comes in and fills the void, yes. Turns it into a realized possibility, amen. Amen. Fills it up with love, that same person will want to heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out devils and freely receive and freely give, totally, completely changed. Amen. See, that's what I mean. God looked at that sack of mud called Adam, breathed, and he became a living spirit. Thank God he did, because I got to be born again because of that. You see, write this down. Let us bring to God our fragments of aspirations. Let us bring to God our fragments of aspiration or aspirations, our ill-defined yearnings. Our undeveloped capacities. I'll go over it again. Then and only then do we become his disciples. Let me say it again. Let us bring to God our fragments of aspirations. Our ill-defined yearnings. Our undeveloped capacities. Then and only then do we become his disciples. I did that. I brought in my fragments of aspiration. You want me to preach? Okay. My ill-defined yearnings. I don't know how to define this, Lord. My undeveloped capacity. I don't know what I'm doing. but not my will, but thine be done. Right there. He sealed me and put me into the fivefold ministry to preach this glorious gospel. Undeveloped in capacity. Didn't know what to do. If I'd have made a mistake, I wouldn't know I made a mistake because I didn't know what I was doing. But I was walking by faith and not by sight. Now that's true, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't know anything about ministry, but God did. And now God has me here on TV to preach this to you. See, he's no respecter of persons. His plan is to help you realize your possibilities too. See, when God looks at you, he looks at you with exquisite faith. My God, he goes, this is a person I can use. They don't understand all the possibilities around this, unrealizing it, but I'm gonna make it happen. Are you ready for God to move supernaturally in your life? Of course you are. Yeah, you want it. All you need is exquisite. Isn't that a wonderful word? Exquisite faith in Jesus to do what he wills for you. I'm telling you, this will work for you. I have a wonderful question from a viewer. Her name is Faye. She asked this, Jesse, what Bible character do you most relate to and why? Faye, I relate to all of them. You know, I like them all. I mean, I start with Abraham. I go, man, nothing be better than Moses. Oh, God. And the Apostle Paul. And Pete, I just like them all. I even like Jonah. I like them all. I like the minor prophets. I like the major prophets. Good God, man. This is my family. Did you get it? This is my family. So I relate to all of them. We're one in Christ. Ooh, that'll preach right there, wouldn't it? Think about that. You know, it's like my staff. I got a lot of people work for me, but they're my staff. They're all, in my mind, they're one. When I call a staff meeting, I see one, a group of one doing what we all do to preach this gospel to you. Oh, I tell you, I'm starting to preach here. It's such a blessing. So that's who I relate to. Faith, that's a great question. It really is. It's kind of hard to say which one's better than the other because there isn't. I just like him. It's kind of like a father and his family. I mean, if you got two boys, you don't love one more than you love the other. It may look like you do, or your daughters, or whatever. You love them all the same. Why? Because they're your seed. They're your blood. You understand what I'm saying? So thank you, Faye, for that question. Now, stay right there. I'll be back in just a minute to speak another word to you. Some other things going on here at JDM. I want you to watch this, and I'll be right back now.
Man, we've been to Australia, we've been to Europe, just preaching the gospel everywhere. Just going all over, preaching the gospel.
Jesus!
And how can they hear lest they have a preacher? Letting the world forget the words of God. And the only way they're going to do that is with voices and people like me and you. That's why I'm on television all the time. That's why I'm trying to get as much television time as I can. Not so many more people can see who I am, but I am interested in building God's kingdom to such a degree that the world will see who he really is. Come on, it's time.
Is there anything too hard for the Lord? The answer is no, there's not. In my book, Give God a Job, you would discover that our magnificent God is ready and able to fulfill every promise that he has for you. It's time to ask in faith and start living on earth as it is in heaven. Remember, if you keep God busy, he will keep you busy. Order your copy of my book, Give God a Job, today at jdm.org. Our August product offer is one you're going to really enjoy. It's my new book. I love it. Give God a Job. This book right here is a scriptural wake-up call and a faith builder.
Give God a job is also our theme for this year. Now, I base this on Genesis 18, verse 14, where Jesus asks each one of us, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Well, the answer is clear. No. God told me, Jesse, if you keep me busy with your faith, I'll keep you busy. Boy, he sure has. I encourage you to order your copy today at jdm.org. I'm telling you, you're going to enjoy this. You're going to be blessed. Get it today. Partners, thank you, thank you, thank you. What else? I sound like Gomer Pyle. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, that show on television many years ago. I hope I say thank you enough. Your faithful financial support is so vital in reaching people, changing lives one soul at a time. To me, it's not money. It's what it does. It gets people out of hell and gets them into heaven. It takes depression and throws it away. It gets rid of sickness and disease. My God, do you realize what you're doing when you sow into this ministry? 100% of it is going into world evangelism. 100%. We're debt free. You send 20 bucks, the whole 20 go. You send 20 million, the whole 20 million go. Doesn't make any, I don't get any of that. It goes into world evangelism, and it's a blessing of God. Thank you, partners. And I hope me and Kathy say thank you enough, and you'll never, and never have you ever been a day without prayer. If you're a partner of this ministry, we pray for you. And we're praying for new partners. My God, man, it's just such a blessing, you know. And people say, boy, Brother Jesse, you're getting up in age. I may be getting up in age, but I'm on the run. I mean, I just got to do what I got to do. That's what God tells me to do. Thank you, partner. So do something today, and I'll get somebody saved, healed, touched, and blessed. Okay? Jesse Duflantis from New Orleans, Louisiana, saying we love you. We really do. May God richly bless everyone that's watching today. And thank you, partners, for helping us preach this glorious gospel.
The Christian life is defined in one word, advance. It says never retreat, advance.
Don't miss this special Friday event in Nashville, Tennessee on August 9th.
Be strong and let your heart take courage. Believe the unbelievable and receive the impossible.
God, he's no respecter person. If he'll bless people 4,000 years ago, he'll bless them today.
Special Friday event, August 9th in Nashville, Tennessee at Faith is the Victory Church.
Are you ready to dream and realize the impossible in your life? Our August partner offer, Unrealized Possibilities, is going to help you discover those hidden gifts and strengths within you that God wants to use. No matter where you are in life, no matter what you have or haven't accomplished, God wants to bring you to the next level. It's time to break through barriers, reach new heights, and live your dreams. Get your copy today at jdm.org.
Now, sometimes the Lord is, most of the time, he's just wanting you to ask, you know, and you're thinking, well, I guess I've asked enough, or he won't do that. See, most people I know believe in healing, but they don't know if God will heal them. You know, they'll pray for you to be healed, but will God heal me? You know, when it becomes personal.